Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh.
Pass me a slice of that pie.
It is National Chocolate Pecan Pie Day.
Shut up.
It's kind of funny that that has its own day.
Like, you know, somebody who understands life made that day.
So do you say pecan or pecan?
I say pecan.
Yeah. I don't know. You got to say pecan if you want the real...
Well, if you're going to be talking Southern talk, you got to say pecan.
Pecan pie. And I'm a big fan of pecan pie. Like, pecan pie. Like, okay, leftover cold pecan pie after Thanksgiving in the morning for breakfast with your cup of coffee. Jesus.
Little,
I mean, there is nothing more Jesus and also romantic about that. Like, I mean, they're just as... I can go there. Just close my eyes.
I'm already there. I'm there with you. Give me some of that chocolate pecan pie.
I don't like chocolate pecan pie as much. Pecan.
I don't know. What's the difference? Maybe nobody... I don't know the difference between
it's
the two.
It's got chocolate chips in it.
Yeah.
For real? Like, and the big ones or the little ones?
Whatever. Your preference.
Okay, it surprises me that you don't know what it is since I made one.
Oh, here we go.
At Christmas.
Oh, for my birthday?
And no. Often a chocolate pecan pie will have a caramel swirl.
Ooh, a little glory spout.
It's basically a sugar overload. It's Christian cocaine in a pie shell.
You know why I don't know about it? It's because you probably ate it before I even saw it. You made
that
it, and then you ate it.
Uncalled for.
That is... Totally possible.
Yeah, totally possible. Yeah.
You're both
kids,
go
outside to play.
No, I made it with my sister-in-law, and we determined that regular pecan pie was better.
Sometimes we do that, though. If we make something really yummy, and we're like, the kids are outside, we eat it first before they ever
or
know.
Or you make something for a potluck, and it never gets there.
Yeah. I've been known to hide things in coffee mugs. Because then my kids don't know what's in it. And if you hold it high enough, they just think you're carrying around a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
When really it's filled with ice cream or pie or chocolate chips.
Yeah.
Or rum.
Yeah.
Or, or just sugar. I just put sugar in it. And
our middle child, Ben, has got a nose like a bloodhound. And we'll like go to Chick-fil-A or something. He's like, why do I smell a chicken sandwich with waffle fries?
He does that. He'll get in and we throw all the trash away and he'll get in the truck and be like, did you guys go get something to eat? Like, no.
He's a bloodhound, that one is. Yeah. So is it caramel or caramel?
Oh, now you just opened a can of worms.
Ooh.
Right here. Haley's about to say some incorrect things.
What is it, Clint?
It's caramel.
It's caramel.
Oh, Haley.
Yes. And caramel, he will make fun of me. And I can't reach you. He will make fun of me. And if I say caramel, he'll go, what?
That's
and then
how
I'll
it's spelled.
Say, I'll say caramel, what? 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 Until I say caramel.
Oh, my. You're like Ashley because she.
I'm standing my ground.
I don't like the terminology caramel.
That's because Ashley's right.
It
so.
Is caramel.
Ashley, you are right.
And caramel would be the mount in
yes,
the Bible.
Yes, Mount Carmel.
Mount Carmel.
Mm-hmm. I just choose love right now.
Whatever.
I choose love in the form of a chocolate pecan pie with a caramel swirl.
Sweet.
Happy chocolate pecan pie, everybody. Today we are going to have somebody who is almost as sweet as a chocolate pecan pie. Mark Hendrickson's on the program today, and we're talking about the topic, battling ambiguity. If you don't know what that is, you'll find out when we come back. Time's up.
God's heart is burning for cities. What would it look like if a whole city responded in unison to the Lord? What would it look like for a city to love God together? Unite Worship Gathering started over 2.5 years ago. Regional worship events devoted to an extended period of vertical worship and building community. There's no competing agenda with His presence. Regional worship leaders worshiping in the round. where everyone is encouraged to join in as we host the presence of God in a greater way for our city and our region. The next Unite Worship Gathering will be hosted by Impact Life Church in the main pavilion of Mercy Park. This will be our very first outdoor Unite Worship Gathering, Saturday, September 23rd, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Mercy Park in Joplin. Find out more at UniteWorshipGatherings.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we are talking about why we champion people. Something that we talk about often, but we're just going to go into it a little bit more in depth.
Yeah.
And we'll have on the program with us Hannah Clemens from Sail Music. Today, a little bit later in the program, Mark Hendrickson will be joining us once again. Probably one of the most reoccurring guests we have on the program.
Yeah, he's family.
He's Framley.
Framley.
Because he's endowed with wisdom. He is, for sure.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
We're talking about battling ambiguity. What are we talking about, Clint?
This is something that I encounter in people all the time. And we had a little bit of discussion about it off air a minute ago. We encounter the resistance of people. There's a battle on the inside that says, I could never be great. That says, God doesn't want me to be great. That says, God never intended me to be influential. And they come at it with a super spiritual point of view and say, well, only God can be great. And we have
to God be the glory.
Yeah. Like this old story of, you know, God gave me this song and they play it for you and you're like, you should probably give it back. Just kidding. But I'm trying to prove a point here where we take a super spiritual approach and apply it to ourselves, and it ends up actually coming from a place of deficit or a place of poverty and a place of false humility. When in fact, the disciples came to Jesus and said, which one of us is going to be greater? And Jesus was not like, I rebuke you for that. He's like, get in your lowly place, you worm. Crawl under a rock. He didn't say that. He says, if you want to be great, you must become the servant of all. And in fact, the kingdom of God is meant to be carried by people that have grown in favor with God and man. And if Jesus is our example, if he is perfect theology, the Bible says that's what he did. He grew in favor with God and man. So we're talking about a race of people on the earth, of kingdom people, the bride of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, who are great, who are influential, but who also carry his nature as an encounter. And that nature is not a nature of self-centeredness, good or bad. We're not being self-centered in the fact that self is getting in the way because I'm a worm, but we're not getting self in the way either that says I'm so prideful that nobody can get within 20 feet of me, you know?
Right.
So settling the issue of ambiguity, raising up people of influence, favor, and power in the kingdom.
I know that I am but a worm. So step on me, God, and watch me squirm.
Did you make that up?
That is like the devil's music.
Well, this is really about how do we raise people up into a healthy identity place? How do we get people to start walking in and producing the fruit of real identity?
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to remember that as sons and daughters of the King, we're royal people. We should operate like a royal people. And if my dad was the business owner and I was inheriting the business, I would have authority. I would make decisions. I would still be serving the owner of the business. I would be serving the dream, the growth, the little mini, mini kingdom that businesses are. But my word would carry weight. And so I think if we can approach it that way, we can understand that what we believe, who we are, our words, they carry weight, they carry authority. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we're like, you know, oh, holy, most holy, you know, because we're serving the King.
Yeah.
And that's why you're approaching that and why you move in authority is because you're operating out of a place of identity.
Yeah.
It's not about what you obtained. Mm-hmm. It's about who you are.
Yeah.
And I think people think if they express their gifts or if they express their talents, that somehow they're showing off something special that God may have given them. And instead, he wants them to shine bright.
Hello.
Let your light so shine before men that, why? That God may be glorified.
Yeah. Yeah, we're actually stealing something when we put on that self-deprecating false humility thing. We're actually robbing, let's say it, robbing God.
Well, yeah, as children of the owner of everything, if we refuse to operate in our capacity, if we refuse to operate in our position and who we are, we're actually doing harm.
Mm-hmm. I actually just had this conversation because here's another battle we fight in finding our voice and becoming people who have influence and favor from God and with man, is that when we begin to step out of the shadow, we begin to step out of ambiguity, we begin to say what we believe, like our inside world starts to become really strong and healthy, and then that comes out of our mouth, you know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. When we start speaking, we start, you know, releasing the things that are on the inside to the outside, man, we can all of a sudden over-scrutinize ourselves, cast doubt, be intimidated by voices that say, that's no good. You're never going to be anybody. And that is a battle a lot of people face. And in fact, when we started this podcast, I had to fight that battle. And sometimes I still do. I had to fight that battle of intimidation from the enemy and just from myself, honestly, that says, that was stinky. You know, that was no good. Who do you think you are? And these are voices of intimidation, and these are strongholds that try to come over our life to prevent a river from running out of us. And it's imperative that we raise up a culture and a community that empowers people to do the very thing.
Yeah. And you know, yes, there are people out there who are prideful and arrogant, have a big head, they're too big for their boots and their britches. But just because there is an error doesn't mean that we should neglect what is true and right and then go the opposite ditch and say, well, we just won't do that. You know, the goal is healthy. The goal is healthy identity.
Yeah. And a lot of times people are trying to overcompensate for somebody that is really conceited or showy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I have discovered is the only thing the enemy has is deception. He doesn't have any secret power. He doesn't have any authority. He has no way of attacking you other than convincing you of a lie.
Yeah.
That's it. And once you believe the lie, then he's got you in a little bit of a web.
Mm-hmm.
Because then what you believe is how you'll speak, how you'll act, and how you'll think. What does Paul say that we do with those things? Those vain imaginations.
Mm. Yep.
That try to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, the truth. We cast them down.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds just like Satan, that he wanted to exalt himself above and he was cast down. And what are we doing whenever we cast down vain imaginations? We're doing exactly what the Father did. The one who tried to rise above the glory of God, he cast him down.
Yeah.
So the enemy is defeated completely. Jesus finished the work at the cross, destroyed the power of the enemy upon this planet, and he turned over authority to us. The enemy has got nothing on us except the ability to try to deceive us. But if we're really associated with the truth and we're listening to the Father's voice, then we can just say, you're wrong.
Yeah, this is why the power of community is so vital and so important, because if we get a community where people exist inside this healthy identity zone, then you have multiple accountability circles around you. You know, it's not just where I attend my church and then my pastor is the one that speaks into my life. There's not enough pastors that lead churches to do that. We need community. We need peer. We need submit to one another situation, you know, where we have people of influence all around us who are grounded, who have healthy identities, but also can see into our lives. And when we rise up and we come out of ambiguity, it's a safe place. You can't rise out of the shadows, have a voice, you know, be brave and courageous without family behind you. It's impossible. And that's why I think we have maybe a lack of that courage and that boldness in the earth today. I mean, we're starting to see it, and certainly starting to see courageous families arise on the scene. But even more, can you imagine an earth saturated with family that surrounds itself with courage, with bravery, and empowers people to have that voice?
It's coming.
It's incredible. I mean, it's the secret sauce. It's the secret sauce of heavenly community on the earth that empowers people to have courage and do exploits in the power of God.
So we just want to encourage you right now. If you've bought into this lie that you have to be lowly and don't focus any attention on me, I'm just serving the Lord, it's really all his big show. He wants you to partner side by side, join heirs with Christ. to become the righteousness of God in Christ, that you may walk on this earth with authority and subdue it and shift culture and be a partner of heaven. You play a vital role in establishing the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. It's not about what you're doing. It's about who you are. What you do flows out of your identity as a son or a daughter of heaven. That's true humility.
Yeah.
Taking your rightful place and bringing heaven to earth.
Yeah. Everyone is significant.
Coming up, we're going to be talking with Mark Hendrickson. He's got such wisdom to drop on us. Always gives us new perspective. Every single time, I mean, I could just sit and listen to him talk for days and days and days. Mm-hmm. I
Amazing
love him
person.
So much. So stick around. It's going to be awesome. Thank you for listening to the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Recently, there has been an opening for sponsorship of the program. If your group or organization would like to sponsor the Next Gen Worship broadcast, please email us info@nextgenworship.com. This is a powerful way to partner with a movement that is inspiring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Become a sponsor of the Next Gen Worship broadcast today. Find out more information at nextgenworship.com or submit your request for sponsorship via email info@nextgenworship.com. And thank you for supporting the Next Gen Worship broadcast.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're diving into the topic of why we champion people, and we're going to be talking with Hannah Clemens from Sail Music. It's going to be an awesome interview and an awesome topic. Today, we're so fortunate enough to have on the program with us, talking about battling ambiguity, Mark Hendrickson.
Mark, it's always a joy to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Clint. It's always been good, and even more than that, I like our friendship.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, a lot of people have heard you before, but bound to be some that are hearing your voice for the first time. Why don't you give us a little story about you and your ministry and your family?
Oh, raised in a ministry family, both of my wife and I, both of our parents pastors. So we're PKs, just kind of gravitated into that. Just told people for years, I can't think of anything I'd like to do better in life. Although I'm not your typical pastor, I don't have a church or a pulpit, and I very much just do it as the Lord kind of opens doors, but it's one very exciting life. We go around the states, around the world, and we like to open up people's hearts to encounter the Lord, and tears are a very, very common experience. We do worship, do speaking, and life coaching, and solving church problems. So that's a little bit of overview.
Yeah, I love that. And I love all the times that we spend together. It's very much an encounter with his presence every time. And, you know, people just a lot of times find themselves opening up to something in the spirit that they've never encountered before when you're around. And that's when the tears start flowing right there.
It's one of the best times I could ever imagine. I think of God, who's given each of us a measure of grace to affect or influence other people. And he's asking and looking to see how, what do we do with that grace? And how well are we really introducing people's hearts to his presence? And so when I see tears, that's probably one of my most enjoyable times, because I think it's one of the most bona fide ways we know that a person's heart, and my heart, has touched the presence of the Lord, and his heart has touched mine.
For sure. Well, I want to dive into today's topic, and we've talked a little bit about this just between you and I, and man, you were reading some statistics that completely blew my mind. Maybe you'll go over those, but talking about how many people actually understand the will of God for their life, and it's really eye-opening. I know you've written about this before, but kind of take us on this journey on this little topic here of what you got in your heart today about these ideas.
Well, we talked about the idea of ambiguity. Big word. Basically, just dangling out in the middle of life and who am I, what am I doing, what should I do, and just a big question mark. Unfortunately, that leads to confusion and boredom, because if we don't know who we are and what we're made to be and do, that leaves us grasping for straws or just disillusioned, and we just dangle out there, and nobody likes dangling. Some years ago, a popular Christian leader did an informal poll by asking the groups, his conferences, how many people in that conference knew what the will of God was for their lives. And according to this report, about 10% of the people raised their hands. Now, first of all, that's not a good commentary at all. Only 10% know what the will of God is. But then he went on further to ask, so of you 10% that raised your hands, how many of you are doing the will of God? And according to the report, it was 5% of that group raised their hand. 5% of the 10%.
Hmm.
So this is a really, really sad commentary. And what that means is the people of God, I mean the sons and daughters of God, who should be the most empowered, most gripped, you know, even as it said of Jesus, the zeal for his Father's house has consumed him.
Mm-hmm.
The people of God should have this locked in and should find our hearts and our lives compelled and empowered by this super knowing, you might say, from God. But unfortunately, that leaves us just dangling out in all ambiguity. So this is not good, because even the world knows and has a saying that says, idleness is the devil's workshop.
Mm-hmm.
The world knows this. So what that does for the Christian, for the believer, is it leaves us very vulnerable. And I've said this a lot of times. I think probably one of the greatest enemies or potential liabilities for the believer is not some major sin, you know, taking us suddenly or even sneaking up on us, whatever. Probably one of the greatest liabilities in the Christian's life is boredom, because that leaves us vulnerable. It leaves us without a sense of a compass, without a sense of purpose, without a sense of mission. Who am I? Where am I going? That sort of thing. So I wrote a post in my blog entitled, How's Your Heart? Try this little spiritual dipstick. Well, that's kind of a crazy title, a crazy word. What do I mean by dipstick? Well, the question for me is, how could I know what the status or state of my heart? You could have other people try to tell you, but they don't really know what's going on inside. So how could I be able to assess my own heart? So I just began looking over my life and comparing it to the Word of God and taking my own ups and downs, my seasons of my life. And I began creating some kind of little methodology that I could use to find out how I'm really doing. So let's just take a look, first of all, at this word dipstick. So every one of us drive a car or have a car or a motorcycle or something, and almost all vehicles have a crankcase, which inside of that crankcase is oil. Now, oil is the thing that lubricates the engine. If you got good oil and it's not contaminated or you haven't run out of oil, then that engine's going to run probably for a long time. If your oil is contaminated or you've run out, you're going to have problems. That engine is going to deteriorate fast. And so we stick our dipstick down in there. We pull the dipstick out and look at it. There we go. There's the status of our oil, and that gives us an understanding what's happening on the inside. Do you think we could do that with our own hearts?
Yeah, great comparison.
So I came up with this little spiritual health dipstick. That'll take me about 5 minutes here to kind of walk through this. Let's see if we can do it. So we're going to create three columns, you might say, and one column is going to be the name of our status, and each has kind of a name, you might say. These are names I've made up just because I've evaluated my own life, and this is how it seemed to me. The next column is going to be our confession. In other words, what we say when we're in that status. Now, why is that important? Well, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So maybe what we say in a kind of a general sense over a trend or a long period of time gives us a look at what's happening on the inside. And then the third column is a description or just a brief understanding of what we could derive or what we could determine from our confession. So you ready? Let's take a look at this.
Let's do it.
The first status is when our heart is the most healthy. And I call that alive. Man, I feel alive, right? Well, my confession is, this is the best, or life is the best. Over a period of a month or 6 weeks or 3 months, I just find my confession like, oh, God, this is awesome. I love what you've done in my life, and I love what you're doing. I love your presence. And so the description is, I feel fully engaged with the unique purposes of God active in my life. Got it? That's status number one. That's where our hearts are fully alive, fully healthy. Now we're going to come down a little bit. The next status name is busy. I'm not exactly fully alive. I just feel busy. And I say something like, well, life is okay. Life is okay. I'm not particularly bothered by it. I don't feel pressure. And here's the description. There's lots of scurrying around. I'm doing this stuff, but I don't have that edge. So that's status number two.
Mm-hmm.
Now we come down to the next category, and that's active. And we say something like, wow, this feels like work. Description says, I'm busy, but without the sense of the presence of God in it. My busyness doesn't have a sense of God. I'm just doing the stuff. The next one is bored. And we say something like, why? Why am I doing this? What's the reason? The description is, there's no vibrancy anymore. And it's getting hard to drive myself ahead. The next one is frustrated.
Yeah.
That confession is, how long do I have to do this? The description is, my mind is filled with oppressive thoughts of discouragement. Not so good anymore. At this point, nobody on the outside would necessarily know that anything has changed on the inside of me. Because the oil level in my heart is full enough that I can put on my best face when I'm around people. Only I know what's happening on the inside. And I'm feeling the difference, but I don't have to telegraph it to anybody because there's enough empowerment on the inside. But look what happens here. As the oil level gets lower, pretty soon we run out of empowerment to put our best face on. So the next status, the next category is irritable. Now I'm irritable. Now my problem is beginning to manifest on the outside. And I say things like, you did it. And the description is, we begin to find fault and point at others as our cause for our discomfort. You see, my empowerment is so low, so I can't stop the pain or the hurt or the lack that I feel on the inside. Now, if I don't stop, my next category or status is I'm angry. And I say things like, don't get in my way, or worse.
Yeah.
And our description is, we're hard to live with. And anger is our involuntary weapon of choice. Now, the reason I say it's involuntary is because we're not an angry person. We're not a bad person. But it's involuntary because the pain inside or the lack inside is too significant, and I can't stop it. The reason I call it the weapon of choice is because I don't want to be hurt anymore, and I feel like what you're doing, saying, or just being around me points at or pokes at my pain. And so I'm trying to defend myself, defend my pain or my lack of my empowerment. I don't like who I am. I don't like what's happening on the inside. And so I outburst with anger. And if I don't stop the downward trend, this is the last category, I become divisive. Divisive is the title or name of that category. And I say, I'm out of here, or you're out of here.
Wow.
The description is, we become easy prey for the devil to separate us. That's where relational splits come from, whether it's church or marriage or family, because somebody has not kept their oil levels full enough to empower them. So somewhere in this process, from my own personal experience, I have found that one or both of two categories are lacking in my life. One or both. The first one is necessary intake to keep my heart alive. Because everything living, that's plant, animal, and humans, have to have two things operational in our lives in order to keep us healthily alive. One of them is intake, the other was output. We have to have intake that matches your unique DNA. And I don't mean chemistry DNA at this point. Now we're talking about our soul man, the way you were made by God. You have to have a certain intake that really matches you. And you have to have a certain output that really matches the unique way you were made. It activates your motivational gifting. It activates your unique personality. If we have both of those operational, both of those functioning in our life, intake and output, at the right levels, then I believe our heart will feel the most empowered to stay on top of life. We'll find our oil levels in our heart full. And when we check with our spiritual dipstick, we say, you know, I'm alive, or at least I'm busy. Or the fact of the matter is, we go through seasons in life, every one of us do. And so we're going to fluctuate up and down on this little continuum. But what we want to do is be able to assess it. How could I really see? How could I really know what's happening on the inside of me?
Yeah, that's really powerful. And it's very powerful to understand, you know, where you're at, so you can kind of make adjustments. And you're describing those indicators of your life. If people want to connect with you online, you've written a lot of great stuff. I mean, all of your things that you write are just as powerful as this. Help us to connect people with you there.
Yeah, probably one of my best ways to present the inspirations of my own heart are on my blog called Beyond the Map. So you could just Google that. You could type in Beyond the Map and Mark Hendrickson, my name, and it would take you there. Or you could put in Mark L. Hen, M-A-R-K-L-H-E-N .wordpress.com.
Mark, it's always really encouraging and awakening and eye-opening to have these conversations with you, and just value you and your ministry and your family and everything that you guys are doing. It's an honor to be in relationship with you.
Clint, I appreciate that a lot. We've known each other several years now, and I always love it when we're with you. Just love your heart for worship, the presence, activating and enlarging people's lives into the presence. So kudos to you, sir. I'm very proud of you.
So good to have Papa Mark on the program with us today. Always a joy to hear what he has to say. Such wise counsel and a great friend. We always look forward to having him on the program. Next week, join us as we talk about why we champion people. We're going to be interviewing Hannah Clemens from Sail Music. Join us then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.